Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Indeed, that is what we do. Dan, let me ask you a question.
Yep.
Is there a hook?
There is. I know a lot about Alex Jones.
I don't know anything about Alex Jones.
We are back after what seems like forever.
Yeah.
Thank you to everybody who enjoyed the end game coverage that you can find all 9 hours of on our iTunes feed.
You can find Dan's monument to looking up whether or not a guy said that.
Right. There's a lot of that. I want to start this show by just doing a little bit of house cleaning on that. I am very self-conscious because I think I didn't do a good enough job.
On Thursday night, you were all up in my business saying, I got something wrong.
Well,
Jordan, I got something wrong.
Not so much that. I mean, I think first of all, Malthus might have been a worse dude than we gave him credit for.
He's probably
a pretty terrible dude, and I think we let him off the hook too easy. But then the other thing was that in the first episode at the beginning, the first thing we stopped for, that H.G. Wells quote, I misread my notes about the quote. And that's accurate. What I said in there was accurate, but also the specific part of the quote that he takes out. He doesn't even put an ellipsis in to note that he was,
Yes. Yeah.
The quote
He's
is,
not using AP style.
The quote that he says is like, many people will resist the New World Order or die resisting it or whatever.
Right.
In the middle of those two sentences, there's a list of like millionaires and Maharajis. Like,
really?
It's just like the specific people he's talking about in that quote. And I forgot to point this
and
out.
And their addresses and where to buy a gun and where to find them and solve the New World Order problem.
He's literally talking about the people who will resist the New World Order of taking care of people will be these millionaires.
Yeah.
And shit
exactly.
Like that. So be that as it may, I just wanted to clear that up because I'm very self-conscious of myself.
Wow.
And all this.
So I
just didn't make the point strongly
yeah,
enough.
It was even worse than we talked about. That's how stupid that quote is.
There's a couple more instances of that you can check out on our Endgame bibliography, which is on knowledgefight.com.
If you have a CD of Encarta, you can also follow up with a lot of
If you want to fuck around with the Wayback Machine.
Oh, you could get one of those.
You can find those
you can
Encarta
get Mr.
pages.
Mr. Peabody and fucking ride it out.
Yeah. So, Jordan, we got an interesting episode to go over today as our welcome back to reality.
Uh-huh.
But it's
going to be all about Cotter.
Oh, it is. Up your nose with a hose. Before we get into that, I want to give a shout out to a couple of new donors. What's going on out there? What's going on out there, Pete B?
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you so much for joining
up
with the
so
show.
Thank you so much, Pete Best.
The fifth Beatle has joined up. This is actually, the next one's actually very special. A special shout out to, someone who has, bumped up their donation, but at the same time.
No.
Has also become the moderator of our new group on Facebook.
Oh, shit.
And, is the, encouragement for us actually creating that group. He sent me a message and said, hey, it would be kind of cool if we had a group where people can post stuff and joke around and all that stuff. So we have a group on Facebook. It's called Go Home and Tell Your Mother You're Brilliant.
the shortest name we could find.
Yeah. So it's there. You could find it. And if you request to be a member, we will let you in the group. There's a lot of fun stuff going on.
You only have to remember 6 of those 8 words in order to find the group. Yes.
People clowning around. It's a great time. Yeah. And thank you for the...
And if you search Knowledge Fight, it won't come up. So
no. We're stupid. But thank you for inspiring and encouraging us to open that up because it's really cool. It's so fun looking at all of the listeners and myself jumping in and clowning with each other.
Absolutely.
It's real nice. But thanks for inspiring that and bumping up the donation. Keegan, you are officially a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Sharp. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent.
He's a loser little titty baby.
I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
So thank you very much, Keegan. Now that you think about it, he might have already been a technocrat. But either way, God bless you. You're the best. Around. So, Jordan, it took a long time to do that Endgame coverage because there was a ton of research into very weird, his bibliography sucked. There were loose ends. There were, dead ends of his research and things he didn't prove at all. And I had to try and figure out what the fuck is he talking about.
There's a guy with a cowboy hat.
Oh, God, that cowboy hat. Jim Tucker.
Yeah, to research where cowboy hats came from.
Sure.
His cowboy hat was, of course, made by a globalist, undercutting his entire argument.
I had to figure out why he wasn't also wearing a bolo tie.
Oh,
these
yeah.
were questions, and he's dead, so I had to have a seance to find out. It took a lot of time. So it took, like, weeks of research, and then we recorded.
That'd be a fun, harsh turn for us to take, is all of a sudden.
We're spiritualists.
All of a sudden, we're spiritualists. By the way, we are turn-of-the-century spiritualists, apparently.
Yeah.
It happens.
I'm the reincarnation of David Wilcox.
Oh, man.
He's not dead.
Cleopatra. Cleopatra. That's me.
David Wilcox claims to be the reincarnation of, who is that guy? He's called the sleeping mystic. What was his fucking name? Edgar Casey.
Oh, okay.
He claims to be the reincarnation of Edgar Casey, and so this is not who gives a shit.
I don't know. I think now is the time to talk about reincarnation.
He has been on Project Camelot, so he might come up at some point in the future. But so you know, we recorded that was a hot 9 hours, and then the editing of it, the posting, the putting together our bibliography, that took up most of last week, and so we haven't had an episode. And unfortunately, or fortunately, it's debatable. In that time, a lot of stuff that hits close to home for Alex has happened.
Yeah.
We had the
mainly
shooting,
guns.
We had the shooting in Parkland, which I think that you and I have discussed. We have no interest in talking about, at least at this point.
Right.
Out of respect for, those affected.
And rage.
There's that. And that all the arguments that are made are really stupid, and are the exact same
really
arguments
stupid.
That have been made over and over and
yeah.
over again every time there's a tragedy.
Yeah.
So if you want to know our feelings about it, go listen to us talk about Alex talking about Sandy Hook.
Pretty much.
Pretty much the same fucking thing.
Very similar.
And then there was that town hall meeting that CNN had. I don't know if he talks about
man.
That too much.
Ugh.
But then he, you know, some articles started to come out about how he was in trouble with YouTube standards.
Yes.
And
yes.
So it was a big.
He's got two strikes.
I think he has two strikes left or something
yeah.
like that.
Who knows? Yeah.
It's arbitrary bullshit.
Yeah.
I was talking on the group Go Home and Tell Your Mother You're Brilliant with some folks about it. My position on it is, quite frankly, that these sorts of articles are really just reinforcing his victim status
yeah.
and his narratives that he has. I think it does nobody any help. To sell this sort of bullshit.
Yeah, why exactly are you talking about how many fucking strikes he has
totally.
On YouTube whenever he's an anti-Semite fucking lunatic?
Exactly.
Who gives a shit about his strikes on YouTube? Every single fucking article should be like, and here's why he's a monster, and here's why all of this stuff, instead of fucking Alex Jones, noted ridiculous monster.
My feeling on it is, quite frankly, like, I think it's stupid. I think the strikes they're referring to are nonspecific and full of shit. But then further, like,
it's amazing how much baseball has influenced our punitive systems.
Exactly. Yeah. Baseball's not arbitrary. There's
so many rules. You could make it two strikes. You could make it five strikes.
So many,
it doesn't matter.
So many technicalities in baseball, but not in YouTube.
Weird.
So the other feeling that I had is like, all right, if you guys are going to play that game and that's what you want to do, hit me up. I could find you some more strikes. You know, I know a few things. I know a few places where he vaguely threatened Chris Cuomo's children.
Yeah, you want some strikes?
Yeah,
we'll find you some strikes.
Yeah, absolutely.
We can get him banned from YouTube tomorrow.
Exactly. You guys want to talk about fortified supply? We
yeah.
got plenty of shit. Like, you want? We can get him banned from stuff, but that's not our objective. And I sincerely think that...
It's kind of not our objective.
Well, but I think anybody who's pushing for, like, some sort of a banning on the merits of content... I think is barking up a really bad tree, and it's the wrong approach to take, because up to a certain point, he is protected under, you know, free speech guidelines
right.
that are there specifically to protect speech that is disgusting and awful. And I think you play a losing game when you're like, Alex said something stupid. Let's get him kicked off X, Y, or Z.
Right.
The more reasonable thing to do is, the crimes. Certainly deal with those.
Usually crime starts first.
And then wage a campaign to allow his listeners to see him within the proper context. Things like show people his bibliography for Endgame.
Yeah.
That's something that I think could erode public confidence among info warriors.
You would hope.
But again, we've talked about this. He would just say, of course, I don't have anything in the bibliography. All my sources are secret.
Sure.
You know, like, I have top level. Anyway, who cares?
Oh, yeah.
I'm getting off on a terrible...
Top level in Carta access.
Absolutely. So, it's been a big week for Alex.
Did you know there's a secret Encarta page that you can find on the dark web?
You know what's weird?
It has all of Encarta encapsulated?
On Tor, on a Tor browser, you get all of Encarta.
Oh, yeah.
So I think we did a really terrible job of a couple things, actually, now that I'm thinking about it a little more.
All right, Dan. We're going to have to do it again.
From the top.
Get it going.
No, we didn't know. Like, I think that it bears mentioning.
Take
that
two.
Alex made that. That came out in, like, 2006, 2007.
Uh-huh.
He hasn't mentioned George Soros in that documentary once.
That's true.
You know, there's all sorts of things like that that are like.
Well, George Soros wasn't involved in building the Trans-Texas pipeline or whatever it was.
He was involved in everything, according to Alex, and I think it's interesting that his narrative hadn't developed to that point yet.
Well, what happened was they told Soros, they were like, hey, you're doing a great job globalizing. We love it. Sit this Texas thing out. That way Alex can't talk about you.
But he believes that he's a part of, like, the Trilateral Commission and the Bilderberg Group and all
Yeah.
And he is talking. Who cares?
Well, he was the one who invented the time zones.
It's just nonsense that his name doesn't come up once, and he's Alex Jones's big boogeyman. Anyway, it's been a big week for Alex.
Yes.
He's a lot of shit to deal with. And I went back, and I was like, all right, we're coming back. We had to check in with the president. And I was like,
do we?
I think we do, out of, like, a decency and a completeness. And
that's true.
And so I was looking around, and I was like, that's weird. Milo Yiannopoulos was on every day last week.
I saw that.
He was on all the time.
I saw that.
They're really trying to forge an alliance.
Really? Why is that?
I believe so. Well, because Milo has reached a premature point in his career where no one wants him.
Yeah.
And that's when that happens, generally people go to InfoWars. And so he's going to InfoWars, and he's a potent tool for Alex right now, but I think he'll outstay his welcome pretty quickly.
As he has done literally everywhere else.
I don't mean this in any homophobic sense, but I think that Alex's audience, and Alex has to know this, I assume, so much of what drives InfoWars is a misplaced version of masculinity.
Yeah.
And that's why they like this testosterone-driven Alex Jones screaming all the time, him taking his shirt off. And
Right.
You know, the Owen Schroyer shooting hoops in a commercial for vitamin B or whatever. You know, there's a weird testosterone-driven masculinity that is at the core of InfoWars.
So you're saying an effete homosexual will, especially a British one,
yes,
will most likely turn off his very masculine-based, awful listeners.
I think it's only a matter of time before the charm wears off for them. So if Alex is trying to give him,
you don't think a certain amount of tokenism will instead make them feel more enlightened? They'll be like, "See, you can't call us racist or homophobes. We listen to a gay man."
It's possible, but I think the alternative is more likely, just based on what
I
know.
Johnny, like, these guys all love the Olympics. They've been listening to Johnny Weir. They're crying at figure skating all the time. That's something that we know about InfoWarriors.
Sure.
Yep.
I don't know. And admittedly, I'm just guessing. But who knows? I don't know. It's so far, it's been a really good press gambit for the two of them.
Yeah.
Like, everyone, all these sites are writing about it and what have you, so.
Milo said something, bah!
Right.
Yeah.
And
it's weird how anytime there's a InfoWars change, they'll write up a boring, like, well, look at Milo is saying bullshit on InfoWars, but the day-to-day monstrosity is never covered.
Well, you know why? I've been thinking about that.
Because we do it.
Because it's fucking hard.
It is fucking hard.
And, you know, you think about the bottleneck of Alex Jones' InfoWars-related material. It generally comes from, you know, Right Wing Watch or
Media Matters.
Media Matters. But even Media Matters generally gets their clips from Right Wing Watch.
Mm.
And the reason is it fucking takes forever to go through all this bullshit. And Right Wing Watch does it for you. So Right Wing Watch puts out a video of X, Y, or Z thing that they think is interesting from Alex Jones' show. And then Media Matters and I'm not saying anything bad about Media Matters or Sam Cedar or any of these shows, any of these YouTube shows. They pick up the thing that Right Wing Watch put out because it's the work done for them already.
That's true.
Whereas we
So you're saying that Right Wing Watch should hire us?
No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be a part of any of those institutions. Like, I thought about this. I could apply for a job at Media Matters and probably get one. Like, based on the work that I've done already, a lot of the things I've written, a demonstrated track record of being on that side, hypothetically.
Okay.
I don't know what there is more to that side that I don't know. But I would assume the competences I've displayed probably would get me at least an entry-level job.
You would hope.
And I have no interest in that.
Okay.
I don't want to move to D.C. But anyway.
Fair enough.
So my point is...
Work from home, Dan. Freelance.
My point is that there's nothing nefarious about the idea that everyone just covers this, you know, clip of Milo being embarrassing selling supplements or whatever.
Yeah.
It's because it's the thing that someone's already prepackaged for you and you can just push it out.
Right.
I get it. I just wish that people would, like you were saying, look at the bigger picture. Anyway, I checked in on Friday, so I wanted to see what was happening. And so I watched a bit of it, and I have a couple clips I want to play for you. In this first one, Alex is furious, and he explains how he feels about this perceived censorship that's going on with YouTube.
Uh-huh.
And he references a Wall Street Journal article he flashes up on screen, and it doesn't say the things he says it says.
Of course not.
But let's enjoy.
I've tried to explain this feeling. It's like coming home to your apartment, because I haven't had any robberies since I live in a house or apartment.
Mansion.
And all your stuff's been torn through, and on top of it, whoever was in your house over the weekend, like, people break in, you know, you're staying there, I guess because they know you're out of town or something, and then somebody pisses on your rug for no reason, right out of Big Lebowski, you're like, wow, you know, and you pissed on my floor. You didn't just steal my computer and TV and, you know, eat stuff out of the refrigerator. You pissed on the floor. And, you know, that's what CNN's like. Fake news, fake town halls, fake scripted interviews. They've all been caught going harassing old ladies at their houses.
CNN peed
Russian
on
agents,
my floor.
All this crap to try to bully the American. Cuomo going, you're not allowed to look at WikiLeaks. You'll be arrested if you do. I am allowed to. I mean, the condescension of a narcissistic mental patient like that. I mean, a drooling, knuckle-dragging, 75 IQ thug. A thug, like his stupid brother. But no, I'm serious, Milo.
Oh, he's talking to Milo?
I feel
gross.
Raped, and I don't feel like I'm a victim. I'm pissed. Mm-hmm. I want to unscrew somebody's head politically. I mean, this is a real group of flaming authoritarians that brag and celebrate that they banned you off Twitter and have financially tried to ruin you, and they celebrate everywhere, pissing on you constantly. And people say, why do you have that Milo guy? It's fashionable to tear him down. Because
he
goes
with the rug
next week, like I said Wednesday, and now I am. And all these other idiot libertarian and conservative hosts that don't get this. Morons. Why did I give Rush Limbaugh $300,000+ when they were about to kick his show off? Because I could get advertising at half price and support the First Amendment.
I wonder which of those considerations was more important.
Wait.
I wonder if he was more
so
like,
I can get advertising at half price, dummies. Also the First Amendment, whatever,
It's a fire sale on ads.
I gave him $300,000 and he gave me services in response. Why do you think I did that? Was it just a normal transaction that we all make all the time? Was I making a good deal? Yes. But also, the First Amendment, baby.
Was it a
all about it?
Was it a tacit acknowledgement that he had a much wider audience than me, and I was trying to poach it? Maybe, but also the First Amendment.
Tell him, hey, guess what? You're failing, and I'm the one who's saving you.
Right?
Maybe.
Was it an ego move? Maybe.
Entirely possible.
My cake, eat it too, and I made a bunch of money for our operation. That's right.
And the First
I went and propped up Rush Limbaugh, and a bunch of other people did. Because if they could shut him down, they're going to shut us down, people. You hang together, you hang separate. Remember Benjamin Franklin? He's on the $100 bill. He launched the whole country. You know who he is?
Who?
Damn, these people don't have any instincts, Milo. None. I'm not mad for me. We've already been demonetized. They already censor us on YouTube. It's that they're nakedly, openly saying, we're censors, and we're going to shut everybody down. And then the public, the dumb liberals go, oh, good, shut him down.
YouTube is a private company, right?
You're going to be shut down, you drooling morons. I'm sorry.
Love it.
Politically.
I love it.
I'm sorry, politically.
I'm sorry. So, I mean, he's doing good.
Yeah.
and the true comedy of it is, like, Milo being on now is interesting because he fucking wouldn't touch Milo right after all the shit went down.
Oh yeah, but now he's
you
cooled
waited
off.
It out.
Yeah, he's
you
cooled
waited
off.
It out.
Why do you think I gave $300,000 to hire Milo? Was it because I got him super cheap?
Yeah,
maybe.
Was it because his
entirely
podcast wasn't taken off and he needs some he needs some juice? Was it because he's in a desperate position because that whole fucking lawsuit he was trying to pull against his publishers didn't work out and the Mercer stopped giving him money? Maybe.
Was it because I peed on him?
First Amendment.
First Amendment. First Amendment, though.
So at this point, they sort of pivot. And, you know, I mean, it's all like how Alex sort of deals with this fake idea that he's being censored. He just gets mad at his normal enemies, YouTube,
censoring
CNN.
Him?
Well, I mean, I've got this Wall Street Journal article.
Also, he does know that the First Amendment covers what the government can do. A private company can still just do whatever you have to agree to their terms and conditions,
yeah.
Which clearly state, you know, we can fuck you over if we want.
Right, right.
You know,
it's that thing that every company has. Like when I used to manage a movie theater, on every ticket it was printed, we can refuse service
to refuse service for any
reason.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with most.
Except for if you're black.
And most.
We can't do it then.
Most.
Gay?
Maybe.
In the maybe zone right now.
Depends on what state.
Yeah, we'll see how the Supreme Court rules before we go there.
And then, almost every state has at-will employment where you can be fired for any reason or no reason.
Exactly.
It's just what businesses do.
Yeah.
To an extent, getting mad about that is like, well, you have a lot more to get mad at.
Yeah,
you
got
a bigger picture to look at. But I have this Wall Street Journal article here in front of me. The headline is YouTube takes aim at conspiracies propaganda. Conspiracies, propaganda. And I'll just read a little bit here. YouTube says it's planning changes to give users more context for videos promoting conspiracy theories or state-sponsored content. The latest effort by an internet giant to clean up its platform made criticism over its role in spreading misinformation. YouTube said starting Friday it would label all videos coming from what it identifies as state-funded broadcasters, a category that would include even the United States' Public Broadcasting Service, or PBS. The step is significant in part because YouTube has been a major conduit for RT, the Russian state news organization that U.S. intelligence officials called the Kremlin's principal international propaganda outlet. So I looked through this entire article. It doesn't say anything about censoring InfoWars. I think there's only one reference to Alex Jones at all in it, and it's oblique at best. YouTube first tweaked its search results for breaking news in October after it was criticized for surfacing conspiracy theories about a mass shooting that killed 59 people during a concert in Las Vegas. The change appears to have enhanced the search results for some key news events that have attracted conspiracies. 3 days after the Las Vegas shooting in October, for instance, the fifth result for a search on YouTube was about the attacks was a video titled, quote, "Proof Las Vegas Shooting Was a False Flag Attack, Shooter on the Fourth Floor." But on Thursday night, the results were all mainstream news sources. The policy hasn't always worked, though. On Wednesday, after a train carrying some Republican lawmakers collided with a truck, searches for GOP train crash on YouTube returned as the first result, a live stream from Alex Jones, the founder of conspiracy theory site InfoWars, as the third, a video titled "Train Crash, Attempted Assassination of GOP Congress Members?" YouTube said its algorithm hadn't recognized the search quickly enough as a news-related query. So, it's talking about, I mean, Alex Jones is referenced there, but.
Because he's part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think you get into dangerous territory whenever you say, like, just because you're saying stupid shit, we're going to block you or something like that. But
if you're spreading propaganda about how these kids are crisis actors,
yeah,
that's a little bit different than saying stupid shit.
No, I agree. I agree. And I don't think that this is tantamount to, large part of this goes to the private company aspect.
Yeah.
But I don't consider this some sort of racketeering censorship that Alex Jones presents it as.
Now, that's a good question, though. Should certain platforms be publicly owned? Like, would it be a good idea if YouTube was publicly owned? I kind of think it would.
I'm not sure.
Right?
I haven't sat around and thought about it enough to have an informed opinion on it.
Yeah, me neither. I just thought of it right now. Let's get into it and solve it.
I think it would probably create new and interesting problems. I don't know.
Because it's kind of like a public space now.
No.
Everybody puts their shit up there.
But they don't have to. Like the reason
you don't have to go outside either, Dan.
Right, but the reason that electricity and telephones are like landlines and shit like that were deemed public utilities were because without like if one company had monopoly over them, you right. wouldn't have electricity in your fucking right. house. That's different than hey, if you don't use YouTube, you can't put your review of Black Panther up. That's not the same.
Is it?
Yes.
Is it different, Dan?
Yes.
Are you sure?
It's very different.
How can you survive if somebody can't get a hold of you, just like with a long-distance phone call?
Yeah.
But it's just emailing you there.
It's very different.
Yeah.
And if Alex Jones wants to say, like, well, make it, if YouTube, like, not letting us put stuff up, it would make it so we can't exist as a news operation. And my response to that would be, there's so many ways you can host video online. And if you have a website where you can embed those videos and you have a good reputation and people start to like what you're doing, then it shouldn't matter if YouTube is on board with you. It doesn't, I mean, you're just kind of being petty. Yeah. But be that as it may.
Well, I mean, that's another question though, is because that's the second click through. You know what I'm saying? Like if you're on YouTube looking for Alex Jones videos, that's very different than if you're on YouTube and you see an Alex Jones video. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
In terms of.
And that introduces the whole other problem of their suggestions and stuff
right.
like that.
Right.
Which much has been written about, especially over at BuzzFeed. There's some interesting articles you can read about the algorithms that are used to suggest videos and how they often end up with people going down really fucked up roads that lead to lots of misinformation. And it seems to always be on the right.
It always seems to be on the conservative
side.
What if they just got rid of that? They could just do that, right? Mm-hmm. But they wouldn't do that.
Of course not. It would reduce their traffic, overall traffic, their click-through rates and stuff like that.
Yeah, you're right.
Anyway, let's get to this next
clip. God damn it.
Alex Jones in this next clip is going to scream about CNN, and it's...
Well, they pissed on his rug.
This
I get it. This Lebowski gets it.
This borders on funny, but it's still not there.
Okay.
There's something weird about every major CNN host. I don't know where they grow these people, but there's something. I just get that sort of.
I think it's a real laugh.
You know when you're dating and somebody does something really disgusting and suddenly
hilarious.
You can never see them sexually again.
Yeah.
Or when you see somebody on television and they just make you shudder and cringe and you get that sort of flash of disgust and fear and horror.
Yeah. Why doesn't Brian Stelter know? And
look at it.
He releases these photos.
Take it away.
There's a bunch of. I found. That's for there's new ones.
That photo that they have up on screen is a picture of him at an Adult Swim party. It's just clearly like a Getty Images.
Yeah,
he didn't release it. Anyway,
No.
Wait, hold it. Save it for the end of this.
Okay, I'm very angry.
We got to go on the ride.
Okay.
Type in Brian Stelter and hit Google Images. There's one where he doesn't
type it. Do not. Type
he in looks Brian like Stelter. It the clown. I mean, he doesn't know.
Still
that
not named
like,
the clown.
I am a full-born maniac.
The dancing clown.
and there's clowns in the popcorn.
Dueling impressions.
What is happening right
look
now?
At it. Look at that face.
You're on the balloon.
The thing is, he releases these photos himself. This is official photos.
He looks like that on purpose.
One thing that you should keep.
Wow.
There's more, but hold on. One thing you need to keep in mind, and this is the true comedy of this, is Steve Pachenik is on the phone.
He's just there on the phone.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
He'll show up at the end of this clip.
Guys, I can't see the picture. I can't join in.
It's just funny to know that he's silently there this whole time.
He's got it on speakerphone in the background.
You're a psychiatrist.
Getting a cup of coffee.
You know somebody when they've got that lunatic, whatever the face is, it's like a... I mean, if I saw somebody and they're like, I'd be like, get my firearm. I mean, you know, it's like... I'm a total psychopath. Ryan Stelter.
This is creepy as fuck. I don't like any of this.
Ryan Stelter.
I don't like any of this.
CNN likes you. I mean,
stop it.
Well, that's the face. Yes, that smile is. I'm not really showing you this, but that's what I really do. That's what I really do, Stelter.
It sounds like
son
Alex is tickling.
Sorry.
Rank your three spookiest CNN hosts. Who's number one?
This borders on sexual harassment.
Cooper.
Three.
Como, just because he's a knuckle-dragging thug. I'd love to see you.
Not a bad list. Don't let me need
I'm going to go back to...
Sorry there.
As a psychiatrist, that look on Stelter's face that he does everywhere says, I'm invincible. I'm in a lunatic power trip.
Did Alex just say ask a psychiatrist or as a psychiatrist?
We have the
he's asking
what's the rule that goes back to Goldwater? You're not supposed to diagnose somebody from afar, but looking at Stelter, what do you make of him and his behavior?
He's not relevant. I mean, people who are dangerous.
He's not relevant. He looks like a serial killer. You can put his face on a horror
you're
movie
wasting
package.
My time.
With all due respect, I've had a whole ward of serial killers. They're usually pretty quiet.
Steve Pachetic here to wet blanket you.
Steve Pachetic sucks, but at the same time, the way he's rude to Alex still always charms me.
It's a tickle.
Yeah, but unfortunately it turns bad because here's what Steve Pachetic says next.
I don't know, sometimes.
Again, the Stony, the Sandy Hook and this parkland, they're all false flags. And what you're looking at is the nonsense of the vestiges of the press trying to be relevant, as well as the FBI and a
yes, the FBI.
How long does
right
this
now
ghost dance go on then?
So Alex accepts his premise and then asks, how long does this ghost dance go on? So it just like we're at this place where he went on Owen Schroyer's War Room show and did a half hour on how Parkland was fake and all this shit. It's unacceptable, and it's just this level of shit I don't want to deal with. I wish there was a sultry breeze that could just take me away. Take me away to a better place.
Are you about to sultry breeze?
What's this I hear?
Is this the Twin Peaks theme song?
What's this I hear in the distance? Are these the dulcet tones of a beautiful theme song? Oh, this is so soothing. This is not at all like the present day. Oh, God, the trees.
Is this just...
It's like a...
Did you just play this song? Are you just playing this by yourself? This isn't on the show.
No, it's on the show.
This is on the show.
No, it's
just
on our show.
Letting it play. Oh, okay. You're just playing this.
Trying to get us in a better headspace. I've heard, actually, I don't know if you know this, but I've read some studies recently that sometimes when you're really frustrated about a right-wing
you're
propagandist...
You're really going to let this happen, are you?
When you're
this is still going on.
When you're really frustrated about a right-wing propagandist...
What?
Sometimes if you put on a soothing enough song,
yeah,
it allows you to time travel.
Oh, God damn it, Dan!
Just mellow out a little.
Don't you have one of those bloop, 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 like flashback songs?
All right. So anyway, we find ourselves now time traveled back to 2006.
Two things. 2 points real quick. First off.
Let me make a point real quick. You're a bit killer. I was trying to do a bit.
Dude, hey, look, bits are about timing, Dan.
I think my timing was spectacular
there.
You
dragged it out a little bit long. I'm sorry. Anyway. We'll workshop it. We'll do it on the next time travel episode.
From the top.
All right. Okay. Why is it that these guys are always like, oh, liberals are such, but they're all triggered and all this stuff. And the way they describe everybody's appearance is like, it makes me shudder and cringe. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah.
Like all it takes is Brian Stelter to make you curl up into a ball like a little... Like a little titty baby. That's what these people are.
This sounds interesting, but since I am in 2006 right now, I have no idea who Brian Stelter is. So
he was just a twinkle in his father's eye.
He was certainly not on CNN back then. There's a method to my madness.
Yes.
We're now in 2006.
Bow, bow.
Don't make me.
Bow, bow.
Mellow out, baby. So we're now back. 2006, for a very specific reason. Because in 2006, for whatever reason, David Lynch went on InfoWars.
That's why you played it. Very nice. Yeah. Let's do this.
I can't believe you
David
didn't
Lynch?
Let that happen.
David
what the
Lynch?
Fuck is your problem?
What do you mean I didn't let that happen?
That would have been so fucking smooth if it just...
All right.
If you wouldn't have gone back to Brian Stelter.
All right. Okay, then let's edit this and we'll go.
So in 2006, David Lynch was putting out Inland Empire.
Okay.
And he also had a book that he was putting out. And I never will understand why anybody accepts an invitation from Alex to come on. Because you kind of have to know that there's a reason. Like, if you're going on and you're not one of the, like, the whack pack, you know, like the Steve Pachetics, the Matt Brackens, these type of guys, the Gerald Salentis, the Lionels, Like, if you're not one of these guys and he's calling you, like, if you're David Rothschild and he's like, you want to come on? You gotta know there's an agenda. And David Lynch doesn't, I don't think he realizes that there's an agenda to why Alex wants to have him on.
Right.
And you could never know what this agenda
now,
is.
Now.
It's surprising.
There are people who come on and have their own agenda that take over. Like Christopher Walken.
Certainly.
He wanted to tell him what they were cooking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting.
And that he naps a lot.
It's interesting that you bring that up, because generally, whenever Alex does something like this, you end up with the world's worst interview.
Yes, he's a terrible interviewer.
Well, because you have Alex, who has his agenda that he's pushing for, and then this guest who has their agenda, and they're working across purposes. They can't ever get quite on the same page, and quite frankly, the guest is right.
Yeah.
Because they're... We're clearly told beforehand you can come on to promote your X, Y,
yeah,
or Z
it's
thing.
It's a promotion.
Yes.
That's what those interviews with those outlets are.
Right. I'll accept some questions and what have you, but
right.
I'm here to talk about my
right.
book. David Rothschild even said as much, like, I'm here to talk about my book in the Live
yeah.
Earth concert.
You get a couple of questions that are like, hey, what are you, da-da-da? And then your next question is, so you got a new movie coming out.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's see how this all goes. Here's the introduction. And I'll say this. I think Alex does actually seem like he's a fan.
Okay.
I think he is a Lynch fan.
All right. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. We got about 24 minutes left in this broadcast today, and I'm really honored to have an amazing director and writer on with us. I'm a fan of so many of his films. The Elephant Man, Eraserhead, the TV show, Twin Peaks, Blue Velvet, Lost Highway. It goes on and on. I even like Dune. What an epic film there.
It's a great movie.
And
I mean, it's a terrible movie,
but I love it. He's a prolific individual. He's got a new movie coming out. He was just screening it here in Austin. He has a signing at Barnes & Noble's today in North Austin. We'll tell you about that. We have links to it up on Infowars.com right now. And you know, he's also made headlines with some of his statements in politics lately. He is David Lynch, and the new film coming out is Inland Empire. Mr. Lynch, it's a real honor to be able to speak with you.
Good to talk to you, Alex.
What the fuck?
Yeah, it's time. He's listing credits. He likes Dune.
I even like Dune. Right. I mean, it does seem like, I mean, whenever he has someone on, generally.
So wait a second. Are you telling me that Lost Highway was about OJ? We're going to talk OJ?
Hold on.
Oh, yes. We're totally going to talk OJ, aren't we?
Alex has some theories about Lost Highway he wants to run by Lynch, but that's
okay.
In a little bit.
All right.
First,
now I'm excited. I didn't know we were just going to get to talk Lynch.
No, before we get to that, Alex really wants to know what Inland Empire is about. And David Lynch.
Eventually, Sandy Hook will happen, and it will be a false flag. And also, when in Twin Peaks, I don't understand Twin Peaks.
What was going on with
what
Bob?
What was going on?
Who was Bob?
What was who? Wait, was that?
What was up with that midget?
Was that the same guy?
So Alex really wants to know right off the bat what Inland Empire is about, and David Lynch. I'm not surprised by this. Isn't thrilled with that sort of question. So they kind of butt heads a tiny bit.
Tell us about Inland Empire. I haven't gotten a chance to see it yet. Tell us about the film.
Well, all I say about it is it's a story of a woman in trouble.
And I'm told it's like quite a few of your films. It's pretty complex.
Well, you know, Alex, I love stories, and mm-hmm. particularly stories that are at one level concrete stories, that hold abstractions. And abstractions are things that cinema can say, things that we experience in life, but cinema can say them. So it's an experience that may be difficult
to put
into words, but cinema can say it.
Wait
and
for
people
Alex's
can
fucking stupid question.
Still think it. And it's a beautiful language of film, and
speak American.
So I would say Inland Empire holds some of this.
I mean, how would you describe it, though? I mean, if you could say there's a plot to this David Lynch film, I just read a synopsis of it, and it's getting obviously rave reviews.
What Alex is saying there is, my audience is stupid. Please just fucking tell them it's about like a guy who wants to do a thing.
All right, that's great. there's a lot of music and poetry to film, and I understand where you're coming from.
Sure.
I, too, have abstract feelings inside my heart that I need to express. At the same time, I have to deal with reality, and I think you mix the two together. But seriously, what the fuck is the movie about?
You were getting into a little... Your impression drifted to Ventura.
I know. It didn't get it didn't get better.
New York Times, Austin American Statesman in front of me. I mean, for those that... I mean, to give them some handle,
listen,
what's
David
the basics
Lynch.
With Inland Empire?
Well, you know, Alex, bless your heart, man. It's a story of a woman in trouble. And that's it, you know?
So he's not going to get that plot synopsis. I think in that clip there we see the first indication of two men not seeing eye to eye on what conversation is. Because a decent interviewer would have heard that Lynch's answer and maybe asked a question about film, you know, or would have like a follow-up on
right.
that sort of
yeah.
thing. And Alex is like, please tell me the plot. It's not good.
Give me a book report,
because
please.
There's nowhere to go
I'm
from there.
I'm not going to watch this movie.
Your guest has already indicated I'm not interested in telling the plot of this. You know, there's
right.
There's blah, blah, blah. And so, like, your next question is, like, you're just going for another lap around the same thing. And then David Lynch explains, like, you know, I like to go into a movie not knowing too much, because then you enter a world and it opens in front of you, blah, 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 blah,
yeah.
blah, blah.
That sounds like a Lynchian thing to say.
So then at this point, Alex pitches his theory about Lost Highway,
okay.
which I'm intrigued that you called out.
Now, I've got to ask you this question, and we'll get back into Inland Empire and some of the other things you're doing in your new book. But Lost Highway, I mean, I have my own interpretation of it. And, you know, basically like an alternate reality or a total hallucination, somebody who's insane. I mean, any comments from the director on
Bill
Lost
Pullman.
Highway?
Well, you know, I've been saying lately that, you know, looking back on Lost Highway, that I wrote the screenplay with Barry Gifford. He and I wrote the screenplay together. And there we never really talked about this, but it was at a time when the O.J. Simpson trial was going on, and, you know, similar things with the character Fred Madison, how a human being can do a thing that is so horrible and keep on living and smiling and as O.J.'s playing golf. So there is a thing that we've discovered, a psychogenic fugue where the mind tricks itself to hide the horror of something done.
That's what I thought. In fact, I was arguing with some of my staff last night, and they were saying it was one thing, and I was saying, no, it's two different personalities.
So that's not quite what you thought.
No.
In fact, that's the complete opposite of what he just tried to explain to you.
Yeah, and Alex heard psychogenic fugue and got the word wrong.
Yeah.
And it's going to lead to a very weird end to the sentence that he's embarked on here.
Well, it's, you know, you can, I won't say any more, but, the thing is that, more often than not, well, in the long run, nothing stays hidden. So, there you go.
Well, I'm having a psychogenic feud right now because I want to get you on about all these great subjects, and I'm such a big fan, and I'm having a psychogenic feud right now, Mr. Lynch, because I'm trying to control myself and be honorable.
Okay, well, good for you, Alex.
Fake laugh.
Oh, man. Okay. Tell us about the new book, sir.
That's bad.
Okay.
I'm having a psychogenic feud because I want to be honorable. Good for you, Alex.
Yeah.
Tell me about your book.
What does a psychogenic feud look like?
It's him struggling right there when he's laughing and all that shit. It's the two parts of him that's like, I love this guy. Because I think he is a fan.
Yeah.
I think it feels like he is a David Lynch fan. But at the same time, there's something he wants to ask him, and he can't directly ask him. That's the feud that's inside Alex.
Right.
There's something that, like, he's hoping he can just...
Did you start the Iraq War?
He wants to find the pivot point that'll get him to the topic that he wants the interview to be about. And so far, it's kind of about creativity.
For real, what is Dune about?
So he's like, at this point, Alex sort of retreats.
Is the spice a metaphor?
It's probably a metaphor. At this point, Alex retreats and is like, all right, you came on to talk about your book. Let me ask you about your book.
Okay. Tell us about the new book, sir.
Well, the new book is called Catching the Big Fish, Meditation, Consciousness, and Creativity. And it's a book, you know, about, you know, my 33 years of meditation and how it works with catching ideas, because I say in there that, you know, ideas are like fish, and we can catch these ideas, and if we can expand that container of consciousness,
all right,
we can catch ideas on a deeper and deeper level.
See if Alex has a good follow-up for this.
And we can get creativity flowing by learning how to...
Are you a chimera?
...and contacting that unbounded, infinite ocean inside every human being. And it feeds the creativity, and it feeds the joy of doing things.
Oh, I agree. In fact, you're a prolific guy. I mean, you're working hard, I mean, on this multifaceted tour right now. Just shifting gears, talking about, you know, things in your subconscious, in Twin Peaks, the owls are omens of evil, the owls. In more Western or Greek mythology, it's wisdom, or the guardian of the high places, but in Native American, it's a harbinger of evil and destruction. Why are the owls these totems of wickedness in your Twin Peaks?
Mostly that came from Mark Frost, so I don't really know.
Okay, great.
All right.
So that was a follow-up that I
was that
to
like
do
a
with...
stealth? You a Native American?
I don't know, maybe. Or like, is it some sort of pagan shit?
Yeah.
I don't know, because it's a non sequitur to him talking about his book, which, spoiler alert, his book is just pimping transcendental meditation.
Yeah.
And I have some bad news about transcendental meditation.
It works?
It's a cult.
No.
Yes.
Mm.
Oh, it's a giant, I would say bordering on, I think it's like...
Wasn't the guy who popularized
Maharishi
it? He was definitely arrested for... rape charges, I believe.
I don't know about that. I don't know a whole lot about his personal history, and I don't really...
It's not great.
I don't think it's... Well, I mean, I'm sure it's terrible, but I don't think it's relevant to, like, the David Lynch appearance here, nor the nature of transcendental meditation and the TM and what have you. I would describe it kind of as, like, it being on par with Scientology, just without the horror stories, the public horror stories, without the history of blackmail and private investigators. It's some really crazy stuff once you start to look into it. I think it's a pretty generally evil thing that is couched.
Well, Dan, actually, I blackmailed Mark Frost into
putting owls and
becoming
shit?
A pagan ritual man.
I don't want to jump in half cocked on this, but like quite frankly, transcendental meditation, I believe, from all the research that I've done into it and looking into it, I think what they do is they take something very positive, that is meditation, and they've made a very dangerous cult around it. So you have the positive benefits that you achieve through meditation, and by gradual indoctrination, you associate them with this group. And I don't know. I've read a bunch of stuff about the practices that they have, and it's
well, when you get into
it's not good.
Like when you get away from just you know, traditional meditation,
mm-hmm,
and start going into like a autobiography of a yogi and floating and beings
the
of light and all of
great.
That shit, and you're like, okay.
So from
all right, guys,
I'll just go ahead and jump into the TM stuff. Might as well. We've already broached the subject.
Trademark.
The basis of transcendental meditation and the sort of selling point of it, what David Lynch is going to get into a little bit here on this episode, and everybody does who sells this, you know, people like Jim Carrey. The list of celebrity practitioners of TM is like, it's a mile long.
Got to meditate.
And meditation is good. It's really good for you. It's very helpful. But
yeah.
They claim, and the hook is that it's a relaxation-based thing.
Yeah.
And like you, and that's, you know, that's how you open the door. But you have to get in. You have to pay for classes. And generally speaking, they're about $1,000 or more. Unless you get them through your school, because a lot of schools have meditation programs that are done through transcendental meditation.
I did not know that.
And they do those. The students don't really have to pay for those, but of course not.
Are my tax dollars going to subsidize transcendental meditation, Dan?
I don't know. I imagine most of it's done in private schools because it is a little – I don't know. I haven't
It's a little hippy-dippy.
I haven't done enough research into that to like say where the schools are that are doing it, but I'm a little uncomfortable with it because of its branding. Were it just teaching kids meditation, I'd be totally into that. I think that's a very, very positive thing. In the school of transcendental meditation, though, once you pay for these classes, you undergo a ritual called the puja.
I don't like rituals.
At the end of which you're given a mantra that's supposed to be your personal mantra. And the idea of it is sort of that if you tell anyone what your mantra is, then it stops working, which is a way that they...
God. That way they can just give out the same mantra to whomever.
And
God, these people are so stupid.
And because of the nature of this puja ceremony, they're trying to present this idea that they're creating a personalized mantra for you.
Right.
But it's leaked since documents that show how they choose the mantras, and it's based on your age.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that it's based on. And so they get around that.
They can't even do any cold reading?
No.
Like, that's a little disappointing. Like, a con man along those lines can do some cold reading.
I imagine there's a little bit of intuitive stuff, like seeing if you're falling for this and that sort of thing.
Right.
The need to push harder or if you're going along. People who have been trainers.
Your mantra is Charles Manson. Yeah. Charles Manson is your mantra.
Well, here's the interesting thing. The mantra thing is, it's arbitrary. You know, it's just words.
What is your mantra?
Well, see, I actually have fooled around with this a little bit in the past, and I can speak to its effectiveness, let's say. So I found a video years ago from a guy who used to be a teacher of transcendental meditation who had left the group and was sort of speaking out against the sort of more dangerous practices of how it is essentially like the puja ritual that you go in is it's basically inducting a trance. It's putting you in a trance-like state, giving you this mantra, and then there's a bunch of follow-up shit. You have these, like, sessions that you have to go to, so they check if you're doing it right, and those sorts of things.
They hit your knee with the reflex hammer.
Indeed.
They do the whole thing.
And all those things are reinforcing of that trance state and teaching you to get into the trance state yourself. The mantra that they give you is super unimportant. It's just the act of repeating this thing.
Of course.
And so the guy was explaining...
It's like Om.
Yeah, the guy was explaining that all you have to do is basically choose a slightly long thing that doesn't really have a necessary meaning to it, because if it's words that have too much of a meaning, your brain will, like, think about the meaning. And so I came up with something, and I tried it, and, like, if you do put in, like, a good 20 minutes, half hour, a couple times doing that, like, I did reach some sort of a state that I would describe as altered. Like, it was, like, my body felt entirely different. My brain felt like I was going to a different place. It was incredibly powerful. Like, it felt great. You know, especially devoid of the teachings of the transcendental meditation.
Right.
Outside of their grasps or whatever. I think the method of inducing a trance in yourself is pretty effective from my admittedly limited exploration of it. But now, if you were doing that...
I fucked around with some Zen Buddhism in the past.
Sure.
And the difference is, like, with Zen Buddhism, you just kind of get there and you shut the fuck up.
Right.
And you try and get your brain to shut the fuck up.
Yeah. I mean...
That's pretty much it.
There's 100 schools of meditation and none are better than any other. They're all just different routes to quietness or whatever. The state that I got in, I imagine achieving that state in the presence of people who are trained to induce that state, I think it would be an incredibly vulnerable thing. And it scares the shit out of me, the idea that this millions-of-dollar organization that charges people tons of money and has a bunch of celebrities pimping it is sort of based around that. Like, the reports that I've read of these ceremonies are, like, they're manipulative as fuck.
Of course.
Like, the essential piece...
Still selling a religion.
The essential pieces of it are basically you undergoing, like, ritualized things where the instructor tells you to do things, which is tacitly you submitting to them. Then you get put in a trance state, you're taught this mantra, and then you're able to re-trance yourself.
Yeah.
And I don't think
is that any worse than a church giving you the Holy Ghost? You know,
I don't think that usually.
That's something of a trance state.
I don't think that's not from my experience with churches.
No, of course not. But I think neither of us are church people.
If you have those like really wildly evangelical churches with the like touching of hands and stuff like that.
Yeah, Pentecostals and all those guys.
Yeah, a lot of those do also. You know, through the like chanting and the jumping around, what they try and do is make you lose your breath a little
bit.
There are those that are very similar, yes. But I we're not talking about them today because they aren't the guest on InfoWars.
Fair enough.
So the issue that you come to is that like the deeper you get into it, the more that sort of gets revealed to you. The idea that it's relaxation and clearing your head and creativity sort of fades away, and in the later stages, if you keep going, you end up learning all kinds of things about like spiritual purity, moral perfection, getting in touch with the cosmic consciousness.
I don't like that part.
And eventually there are weekend retreats that explain like communing with a god consciousness.
Oh, that's great.
Personalized deities you can get in touch with, which is really fucked up considering they're charging tons of money for all of it.
I don't like anything that eventually like, oh man, you're going to reach the next level.
Right.
Oh, if you just give us more money, you're going to get to reach the next level. Speaking of which, you can become a policy wonk, you
come on.
Can become time travel level, and you can, yeah.
So I think that you can use, the techniques of the transcendental meditation teaches to, as a conduit to good meditation. I sincerely think that's the case.
Well, yeah.
But if,
that's how they hook you.
I think outside of the church, because it is a fucking church. I think that you can do that, but I have some very serious misgivings about transcendental meditation as an organization. And then further, I think that you have to be very careful with this sort of method of inducing a trance for meditation, because there is a slight dissociation that comes along with it. And again, I can speak to that in terms of the experience that I had when I was using these techniques. There was a sense of detachment from my body and detachment from my brain.
You had to go to rehab to get off those techniques.
It wasn't that full, but I do worry, like, there are tons and tons of stories of people who have had psychotic breaks and stuff like that from using these techniques because of the implicit dissociation. It can reinforce dangerous ideas that you may have about, like, things not being real and that sort of thing. There's hundreds of stories you can find about
that's not good.
People who had to go, basically did have to go to rehab or were hospitalized.
They meditated too hard.
Yeah. Using the, because again, it's.
I did not know you could do that.
It's dissociation and trance stuff, which can exacerbate underlying conditions that you may have. It's not something that should be undertaken lightly. And I don't know that, from what I can find, I don't think that the Transcendental Meditation Organization is careful enough with the power of the techniques they use.
Did not realize that.
Yeah. So
check with your doctor before you meditate to see if you're healthy enough for an active sex life.
I think no matter what, I think everyone's...
If meditation lasts longer than 4 hours, then... Well,
that's pretty long. That's tantric at that point.
That's too much.
I think though, like, if you're just doing, like, mindfulness meditation or something like that, real basic stuff, you're in the clear. I think you're fine. But other techniques.
Once you get into the God consciousness, then you're fucked.
Right. It can be a little much. And again, I think it would be the same thing with, you know, if you look at almost any culture's yogic practices.
Yeah.
You know, I think you do end up with, you know, the whirling dervishes and shit. They do dissociate to a certain extent by spinning.
Right.
A lot of cultures have, that, the idea of the communion with God, implicit within it is dissociation from yourself. And that's not always, I don't know, I'm walking a fine line here. Cause...
Well, I mean, the real bottom of it is ultimately consciousness sucks and you want to try and take a break from it. Some people do drugs, some people meditate, some people do the church thing. Everybody realizes implicitly at the very like base level, being aware sucks. Like, don't you wish you were unaware? Don't you wish you weren't?
I think
a bundle of instincts and
you're
love.
You're using, I think aware is the wrong word. I think
self-aware.
I think it's more, are you tired of being yourself? Or do you want a little break from normal whatever?
Right.
Anyway, I just think it's interesting that, like, often Alex Jones is our villain. And to me, I think David Lynch is a little bit more of a villain. Because he has the David Lynch Foundation through Transcendental Meditation. And he's selling a
book. I thought it was because he casted Kyle MacLachlan as Paul Atreides, and that should never have happened.
Look, I don't want to get into casting decisions.
All I'm saying is Patrick Stewart wasn't the right casting choice there either. It's very frustrating.
I love Sherilyn Finn.
Yeah, that's true.
What else
she was pretty great.
But he's on here to pimp this book, Catching the Big Fish. And that's just a book that is extolling the virtues of Transcendental Meditation that automatically, any of these books that are about Transcendental Meditation don't tell you the techniques or anything like that.
Well, you can't. You have to go to the classes.
Right. That's part of it.
They're not going to give that shit out for free.
Of course not.
Lynch had to pay for it.
Then you lose $1,000.
Yeah, exactly.
The people who are the teachers, they have to sign an oath that includes the following passage. I acknowledge that prior to receiving the training, I had no prior knowledge of such a system of teaching, that there is no other available source where the knowledge of such teaching may be obtained, that such training is secret and unique. I am a link in the chain of organizations that you have founded, and that to retain the purity of the teaching and movement, you have laid down the wise rule that should I ever cease to teach at, and then fill in the blank, organization, or any other organization founded by you for the purpose of teaching Transcendental Meditation, I may be restrained by appropriate process from using the secret teaching of Transcendental Meditation imparted to me.
What's the appropriate process?
That's probably the law. I mean, the way I read that is that's an implied gag order.
You can't copyright Transcendental Meditation, can you?
The techniques, I think that's what that
you
passage
can patent
from the oath.
The techniques.
I mean, the
make
oath
sense
is
either.
The oath is essentially a contract where, like, I won't.
Right.
I respect that this is secret and unique, and if I ever leave, I wouldn't tell these secrets to people.
Yeah, but it's like the iTunes terms and conditions. You just agree to it, and then you move on.
I think it's like a differently worded non-disclosure agreement.
Yeah, pretty much.
I think that a lot of people maybe have held to it. But at this point now in 2018, plenty of people have come out and explained exactly what is going on. But David Lynch's book, The Catching a Big Fish, is not going to be like, here's the techniques you can use. At the end of it, it's going to be check out the Transcendental Meditation workshop near you.
Of course.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
So
it's a big ad.
Right. And so is his appearance here on InfoWars. But
Alex is like, you think I spent $100,000 getting David Lynch on here?
But so we now kind of have established what David Lynch's goal is. He wants to talk about this.
Yes.
He wants to talk about his book that is selling Transcendental Meditation. But Alex still has a different goal that we haven't established yet, that he has been butting his head up against the wall with stupid questions that have nothing to do with what David Lynch just said.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't think he gets to the point in this next clip, but I don't know. Let's see.
Evil is a strange thing to think about. There's plenty of it, especially just on the surface of our world. And it all, is in a ball with negativity. And negativity is like
is
a
fine.
Dark black cloud.
Don't be negative.
It's you all know, vague
over,
enough.
We all got
to be
a bunch of negativity and stresses and all kinds of things floating in us. And we got it, a big cloud
I don't
of
like
it
things
on the world.
Floating in me.
And if you want to blow that negativity away, all you have to do is learn to dive within and
meditate,
ramp up that light of unity inside everyone. You grow that light up, and the side effect of that is negativity starts to recede. The key to enlightenment, the full potential of the human being is there, and the key to peace on earth is there. It's
is
very,
it
very beautiful. Hmm.
Mr. Lynch, we're speaking with legendary director and writer David Lynch. Earlier you talked about how in Lost Highway you were kind of paralleling, in a way, O.J. and how he could live a normal life and then be involved in other things that aren't so positive.
Oh, boy.
Any of your latest films or works, is there any archetypal images that in your mind are representing things happening in the world with the war in Iraq or politics or the Patriot Act?
No.
Just direct. No. So, again, Lynch is going off on this, like,
You can see the oceans through your stars, whatever.
Right, but again, the language that he's using is specifically like advocating the benefits of transcendental meditation.
Right.
Will be
well,
able
it's
to bring
the key
world
to peace,
peace
on the ar- on Earth.
Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No big deal if you don't transcendentally meditate. All I'm saying is that you're the reason wars happen.
Exactly.
No big deal.
So instead of asking a follow up question to that, because I think Alex realizes like I don't know, this is a little weird. He instead goes to the
It seemed like he was really close to being like, stop talking about this homo shit.
Well, so at this point, Alex is like, I'm going to just fucking come out with it and ask you the question
right.
I want to fucking ask
Tell
you.
Me about the war!
He's like dipping his toe in.
Right.
And just being like, just,
you got any
why, can
feelings?
You bring this up? Can
maybe
you...
it's in your films. Maybe it's in your book. Come on, let's mix it up on the Iraq war.
Well, you'll see on the other side of this clip that like David Lynch knows what Alex wants to ask him. And
he's David
Alex,
Lynch.
Alex keeps being like, I want you to bring this up. I don't want to be an asshole.
Right.
You bring this up.
But sooner or later, I'm going to be an asshole, David.
And here's where.
No. You know, they say that all kinds of art reflects our world. And I think that ideas come out of, you know, our feeling the world and you know, hearing and
Alex
seeing
is
things. But the ideas themselves that I get are separate.
Stop talking!
To show a message. They're not made to, you know, do anything. It's just ideas that you get, you fall in love with them. And you see the way cinema, for instance, could translate those ideas.
So here David Lynch has explained creativity to Alex.
Right.
And the creative
process.
He's done
a fairly good job so far.
Now let's see what happens.
And then you're rolling, and a whole thing comes out. And only later, as more and more of it comes out, do you see a theme or do you see a thing, you know, like that. But you don't set out to tell a message.
I understand.
No, you don't.
My listenership will crucify me if I don't at least mention the Dutch TV interview that you did, and you commented on the film Loose Change.
Oh, boy.
Now we're getting into it.
Yeah.
Why was it? Wait, he commented on the film Loose Change?
Yeah, he went on Dutch.
Also, it's not a film.
He went on Dutch television and the interviewer asked him about Loose Change. And
why did that happen?
I don't know. It's very weird. But he's sitting there and he's like, yeah, I have a lot of questions about 9/11. And so he
talks.
He talks about in this Dutch.
So we're doing 9/11 trutherism.
Not really. Alex is. David Lynch is just confused. so
where is New York?
He doesn't say anything in the clip I watched of this interview. He doesn't say anything negative about Loose Change. He doesn't say anything that's to say like they're right about their conclusions.
Right.
Just that these sorts of questions make you look at what you think you experienced in a different way. And I have questions that I don't understand. Like the Pentagon, the hole in the building is too small for a plane. I don't understand what happened there. These questions haven't been answered. And then the host is like, what about the ideas that the government did this? And he's like, those sorts of ideas are too big for people to think about. Like, your brain can't handle those sorts of ideas.
Right.
He's implying like the ramifications
but
of...
But Kyle MacLachlan turning into Bill Pullman.
Totally
now, that's
fine.
Easy.
Come
that's
on.
Easy.
So Alex wants the whole thing is like, I want to talk 9/11 with you, bro. That's all he wanted to get to.
You know what? Now that I go back and think about it, I don't think Alex gave him the Mulholland Drive credit.
No, I don't think he did.
Alex doesn't like Mulholland Drive.
That's what you took away
this
from
this? This is the only thing that I can think about now.
He also didn't reference Firewalk with me.
Well,
so.
Yeah, but nobody needs to do that.
So anyway, this leads to the two of them talking about 9/11 a little bit.
Okay.
And you commented on the film Loose Change, second edition, and what happened with the towers, and just said people can't deal with that. Why did you even bring that up, or did you know they were going to bring that up?
You know, I knew they were going to bring it up, and so, you know, you saw what I said.
Yeah.
You know, we're all, you know, like detectives. Human beings
what?
Are like detectives.
Like
we,
or
like?
See, now, even from context clues, I can't figure out if he was saying light detectives or we are similar to detectives. I have no idea. It's within character to say either.
Immediately after transcendental meditation talk? Sure. We're all light detectives.
He's going to talk about light and darkness and about how, like, the answer to darkness is adding more light. So I do think he might be saying we're light detectives.
Possible.
I have no idea.
Look at our world, and we keep looking at it, and we get these feelings that there's more going on than meets the eye. And, you know, this is it's a world of clues, a world of mystery, but the mystery can get, you know, can get solved. And, you know, but you can find these answers for, you know, a lot of these things within. As far as 9/11 goes,
what?
There's, you know,
find it within.
There's things that, you know, we saw that conjure questions and wondering, and something, it doesn't seem quite right. So it makes us wonder. And the
like,
next
why
step
was
is
JFK
we need
there?
Answers. Hmm. We need answers. That's all.
Well, I certainly agree with you. You know, 2 months before 9/11, I can send you a video clip of it. In fact, we ought to go post it on your website. We should talk about your website. You've got a lot of artwork
here. He's just
there,
trying to brag that he predicted 9/11.
Yeah. Perspectives on 9/11 that you're allowing folks to submit and post there. We've got a link to your site up on InfoWars.
Keep in mind, this is 2006.
Right now, and we'll give out that web address before you leave us in any other sites that you think are important, Mr. Lynch. But you know, the establishment told us, or an arm of it, that this is a foundational event. And now we've got Newt Gingrich talking about open martial law and the end of free speech in America. So it's literally survival of my
which I will support
now,
in 12 years.
Country mm-hmm. to expose this. And I did
kind
get
of support Newt Gingrich
I
in 12 years.
Talk about what was going to happen 2 months before it took place, because I saw preparatory actions in the media. And so that's why I am compelled to do what I do, exposing what happened on that date. I mean, you say you have questions. What are a few of the questions that you have concerning 9/11?
I have the same questions that were brought up in all the things you mentioned, and I just don't have the answers.
So, okay. David Lynch's...
That's a very good answer.
Yeah, David Lynch's position about this 9/11 trutherism is that, like, yeah, there's a lot of really weird stuff, but the explanations given... I mean, I think this is what he's saying, because in Loose Change and in any of these 9/11 documentaries that you're going to watch, documentaries in quotes, what you're going to find is you're going to find answers. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
They provide an answer. And if you,
right.
if you are David Lynch and you have watched these films and you're coming away from it saying, like, I got questions about a lot of this stuff, and you don't have answers, that means you're rejecting the answers that are given in the documentary.
That's a good point.
So there's an implied piece of it that he's like, this is unsatisfactory as an explanation for
right.
me, but I still am not...
I don't like what they said. I don't like what you said.
Right.
I don't fucking know.
And so,
why isn't anybody just telling me?
And you know what? I think that especially as we are people who do a podcast about a propagandist conspiracy theorist, I think that there is a pressure to have an answer, and I appreciate David Lynch coming on here and being like, I don't have the answers, because I don't either. I don't think...
Where do you fall on 9/11?
I don't think we need to have an answer to that question. I have no idea. I have no idea. There's a lot of weird stuff. A lot of weird things. I'm like David Lynch. I got questions. I don't have answers. Don't fucking ask me that question. How dare you? I know that I know that Loose Change is a shit documentary, though. I know. I got that answer.
Right. That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good answer.
Check out their bibliography. I don't know, actually, because it wasn't Alex Jones.
It's all just Ask Jeeves links.
Yeah, Alex Jones didn't make that. He just produced it. So they might actually have an article or who cares. Anyway, the idea that Lynch is saying, I have questions, not answers, leads into this, which I think is fanciful bullshit.
In the Dutch piece, you mentioned how the towers fell at the speed of, one of them fell at the speed of gravity, which every engineer that's looked at it says is impossible. Unless there were controlled demolitions.
I understand, Alex. You know, there's questions arising from each of the events that day, and I don't have the answers. I just have the you know.
Is it your instinct?
It's no instinct means I'm hungry. I want to eat.
I think that's
intuition
impulse.
Is the thing.
Oh, yes.
Intuition is higher
like
than intellect.
Oh, yes.
It's emotion.
Yes, intuition. I appreciate what you're
now,
saying.
Going back
don't
to meditation,
say.
When you learn to dive within, which is so beautiful an experience, a human experience.
Well, then you understand 9/11.
You contact the ocean of knowingness, pure, vibrant consciousness, knowingness, intuition grows. Intuition is like, it's an ocean of solutions. And you get that knowingness going, you know.
It feeds
all artistic processes and all creative processes. Nothing we do as man, it doesn't, you know, start with, it starts with an idea. Catching those ideas and seeing a way, a knowing a way to translate that, to make something and make it feel correct based on the idea. And, you know, it just goes like that.
At this point, I think what he's essentially pushing is 9/11 is solvable through transcendental meditation.
I'm pretty sure that's what he's saying.
Yeah, let's finish this clip, but I think I'm 99% sure that's what he's telling Alex.
So he's saying that if... That's a weird thing for him to say. That's a weird claim for him to make, considering he doesn't have any answers.
Well, your answers can only be found within.
Yeah, but he's obviously transcendentally meditating all the time. He's shilling for it. He should know what happened on 9/11.
But he hasn't reached complete enlightenment yet, you understand? That's where the 9/11 questions are. That's where the answers are.
That's what we should.
You have to become.
That's our religion.
You have to become.
Our religion is once you get to a certain level, mm-hmm. we tell you about 9/11.
There's a, yeah, if you donate $100 a month, we'll tell you. No. But
you can't wait to hear the audio drop for that one. I'll tell you that right now.
I think that there is a piece of this that is self-contradictory that you just brought up, which is that idea that, like, the answers are within. I am one of the world's most leading transcendental meditators, and I'm telling you I don't have answers, which leads me to believe just using A then B then C, A then C sort of argument, the answers aren't within. I think that's what I'm going to take away
They're
from that.
They're within Saudi Arabia. All right.
Hello.
Hello. 23 pages
so
redacted.
There's an intuition going when we see things.
Well, also, we know that only 2 or 3% of our intellect is focused in the cerebral cortex, so the more powerful centers of the brain really already know the answer. But like you said in that Dutch interview, people can't handle what their
intellect deep down is telling them at
the conscious level.
Yeah, well, what did you just say in the beginning?
Well, I was just saying that the cerebral cortex...
Let me just tell you one thing about that brain of ours. Hmm. They say we only use 5 or 10% of it.
Nobody says that.
But now with brain
research... people say that.
Memes do.
They can show you that when you transcend, when you really experience the deepest level of life, the full brain is engaged. And it's the only experience that brings the whole brain into, you know,
Oh, this is amazing. I totally agree with you. I call it super brainstorming. Do it every day. And it's
thinking, you know, doesn't do it.
Well, stay there. Tell us more about it in the final segment. Quick break.
So Alex thinks that super brainstorming is what he's talking about. But because David Lynch hasn't used, like, specific language that's really going to set off the buzzers in Alex Jones' head, he's allowing David Lynch, like what he said there, like, the transcending allows you to use all of your brain.
Sure.
These are just TM talking
points. Like the movie Lucy.
These are TM talking points.
Scarlett Johansson was great in that.
He's trying to indoctrinate Alex's audience. He's trying to use this appearance. But that's
He's seducing them away from Christ.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. That's why David Lynch went on InfoWars.
In fairness, that's not off-brand for him. He kind of does that in almost every interview he
does. I'm for it.
So I'm not.
I'm not for the transcendental meditation part.
No. But seducing Alex's audience?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Every one of them.
So anyway, they end this here with Alex being like, oh, yeah, I do that all the time. He's like, no, you're thinking. That's not what I'm talking about. And so Alex is like, on the other side of this break.
Alex, I don't think you've understood a word I've said this entire interview.
You haven't been listening.
Yeah.
So they come back from break, and then at this point, like, it just sort of turns into a sales pitch for transcendental meditation.
Oh, boy. Are we going to a fucking ad pivot?
For a Lynchian ad
pivot.
Yeah,
we're going to a Lynchian ad pivot.
Is, again, our guest. Sir, finishing up with what you were saying about using more
of your
brain power. We have
20% off specials.
You know, turning, I guess, your intellect on or your soul on. I mean, describe exactly what you're getting at.
Well, you know, Alex, it's something we just don't hear so much about in the West. There's so much misunderstanding about meditation. There's so many different kinds of meditation.
It's true.
But there truly is a within. And if you think about it, so many sentences we've heard have the word within, 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 within the sentence.
The within kingdom the
of heaven. First seek the kingdom of heaven which lies within, and all else will be added unto you.
So the sleeper must awaken?
The sleeper must awaken. And you can awaken it by experiencing that deepest level, that kingdom
people.
Of heaven,
yeah.
within.
We were talking during the break, and I was saying 9/11, I think, is the key to exposing this whole agenda. And you're saying that's the surface. I guess we've got to change
so
our...
many problems on the surface, Alex.
He's not talking about 9/11.
The ocean of solutions is within.
Alex.
Enliven
You're
that.
Not going to get it.
The unified field of quantum
you
physics.
You just want him to say
Atma,
that 9/11 was an inside
science,
job.
The
oh, yeah.
self.
That's all he
thing.
Wants.
Know thyself.
What
Dive
a starfucker.
Totally. Enliven that and watch things get better.
Well, people should get conscious.
Alex,
they should
they
get...
be exposed.
Sure.
Believe me.
Sure.
So, yeah, that's all Alex wants. He has his goal.
I don't want the Christopher Walken interview to rehappen and for him to just randomly be like, we cooked. I love this salad. 9/11 was an inside job. And these tomatoes that he made, fucking incredible.
I think
put salt, pepper on them. He really got some butter in there. He kind of baked it a little bit. 9/11 was an inside job. I made the chicken. We also had steak because we're rich actors.
I think Walken's crazy like a fox enough to not do that. Like he would probably, I imagine he would be in the middle of talking about that salad they were making. And
right.
Alex asks about 9/11 and then he'd say something crazy and walk away. Just knowing that if I'm off camera, he won't know that I'm not here. Like do the continental.
He'll do the little stair walk move where he just gets his.
The weapon of choice video. He just starts dancing around.
Exactly.
Like, hey, that guy's crazy. Ooh. Oh, I didn't want to talk to him about that. But David Lynch, like, to his credit, I think he knows that, like, I'm not going to talk 9/11 with you. I'm going to use your questions and your repeated badgering as a way for me to sell transcendental meditation more.
Right.
As a way to, like, hey, 9/11's just one of the problems on this physical realm surface. When in reality, all religions have been talking about the within that only we can really give you access to.
Which is why I worship volcanoes.
Exactly.
It's where the within comes without.
So here's the last clip that takes us out of the interview. And again, it's just more, Lynch shilling for TM.
Well, I would say that not just getting to a higher level, the general public's almost mesmerized by the culture and not even awake at a basic level. But then why did you go public and question powerfully? And I commend
you
for your courage.
He did not really do that. 9/11,
we were talking during the break, we were saying more people need to go public. Why did you go public then?
Because, you know, they ask me questions, you know, is when you see that, does it make you wonder about things? Does it seem
why did you
like
tell the Dutch and why won't you tell
happened?
Me?
It just
Dutch,
makes me wonder. I see things that don't add up.
Well, you mentioned some key points.
Also, the Dutch weren't the producers of the film in question.
I'm glad you had the courage to speak out. What about Bush massing 44,000 U.S. troops in Tajikistan and Uzbekistan, having
like
the launch order to attack Afghanistan on his desk 2 days before? That was in Newsweek. I mean, how obvious does it have to get?
So obvious.
Here's the deal. There's so many problems in our world. So much negativity. Don't worry about the darkness. Turn on the light. Darkness automatically goes. Ramp up
light
the
detectives.
Light of unity within. Help do that for yourself.
So should the bombers have turned
world.
On the light?
Yeah, with peace
I feel like
group.
They were even more creative, though.
Oh, dude, like on one of the...
Or if it was an inside job, it takes a lot of creativity. I bet those guys were meditating.
One of the selling points on Transcendental Meditation's website in terms of like their outreach into foreign other countries and institutions and stuff like that is a dramatically decreased incidence of terrorism among people who meditate.
Sure,
so, like,
of course.
That is even part of the...
That can't be the selling point.
I don't know. It's hard to
tell. So on their website, it's like, hey, if you're thinking about becoming a terrorist, and I'm talking to you, ISIS, maybe try transcendental meditation.
It's hard.
We'll give you a mantra, and that mantra will be
unique.
Not going to blow anything up.
It's hard.
Not going to blow anything up.
With the studies about transcendental meditation, it's really difficult to tell how much of it should be trusted. And quite frankly, I don't have the kind of time to go pour over all the details of it for this one episode.
Right, you're too busy researching 9/11.
Exactly. Apparently. Come on now. Because a lot of the research has been done by proponents of transcendental meditation. And so, like, it looks like their methodology is good, but it's really tough to say.
They may have a dog in the fight, so to speak.
Right. I mean, like, statistical studies generally are not accepted unless done through independent organizations.
I would prefer some peer review.
And some of these might be. I don't know. I don't know enough to say. So I'm going to punt on the studies about transcendental meditation. But if it is just claims that are being made about, like, relaxation, increased happiness, you can get that with all sorts of meditation.
Right.
Anyway, it's tough to take the practice and the organization and deal with them separately. Because I think the practice does have benefits, but the organization is a manipulative, squirrely,
it's a religion.
Cult. No, it's a cult.
All religions are cults.
That's fair enough.
And then we're really doing something.
Well, it does start at home.
Something that bring that light of unity. All diversity is appreciated in the light of unity. It will be so beautiful, so easy. Remember, that's where all the power is that created the universe.
That doesn't make any sense.
And runs it, maintains it without a problem.
Well, I agree with you that it's charity starts at home. We have to start changing ourselves.
That's exactly what he said, Alex.
Time.
You nailed
it. And I guess that's what the
charity starts at home.
Big Fish covers.
Exactly right, Alex.
And you're going to be at a book signing tonight at the Galleria area up in North Austin at Barnes & Noble's. Interview,
guys.
And I appreciate your courage.
I thought it was
what did you think about Charlie Sheen and others speaking up on 9/11?
You know, if people, you know, have questions, they have the right in this country, by golly, to, you know, raise the questions.
Absolutely. So you support them raising questions?
Sad.
Alex?
Yes, sir.
Sad.
You know, I support enlivening unity. Bring out the full potential of the human being by doing that. Everyone has that, you know, ability. And let's start working on real peace, dynamic peace for the world.
Yes, sir.
All these other problems, you know, mostly ridiculous absurdities will vanish.
So they're symptoms of the disease. Thank you, David Lynch.
Sum it up.
Yes, thank you. God bless.
So, you have the parting shot with him trying one more time. Charlie Sheen talked about it.
That's cool? Come on.
That's cool. So you have, like, this is a classic Alex Jones interview, with someone he admires their work.
Yeah.
In that, like, he can't be a dick to them.
Starfucker.
But he has a goal. The other person has a goal. And it's a terrible interview. It's not even a conversation. They're just talking at each other.
Of course.
And David Lynch is at least trying to engage with the things Alex says and weave them into what he wants to talk about, whereas Alex just keeps asking non sequiturs. Now, I think it's disgraceful that Alex Jones, even if I put myself in the head of someone who believes in Alex Jones's world, I think it's disgraceful that he had David Lynch on. Because David Lynch is a big, big part of the transcendental meditation movement.
Right.
Now, who is Alex Jones's big enemy?
The globalists.
Mm-hmm.
Liberals.
Well, what are the globalists working towards?
Boy, you know, at this point, I really don't know. Like, everything
well,
bad?
Well, what's his big fear?
Mind control?
World government.
Oh, transcendental meditation is about world government?
In 1976, the followers of Maharishi Mahesh Yogi started the world government of the Age of Enlightenment to spread the teachings of transcendental meditation globally.
Well, there you go.
In 2001, they established the Global Country of World Peace. Quote.
It's not a good name for a country.
Quote. The Global Country of World Peace was founded by Maharishi Mahesh Yogi as a consortium of educational organizations in more than 100 countries working to create a new era of peace, progress, and prosperity in our world family. The Global Country of World Peace is a, quote, nation without borders, promoting unity consciousness and the reduction of narrow nationalism that divides humanity from humanity. It's time for peace-loving people it's a home for peace-loving people everywhere.
Sounds like an attack on sovereignty, Dan.
Now, Alex Jones also has some ideas, about, you know, believing in, deflating the currency and what have you. The Global Country for World Peace has their own currency called the ROM.
Really?
Which is, one ROM is equivalent to $10.
prints it? Who backs it? Where can you use it?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Is why we should never have left the gold standard, Dan.
So
the ROM was just Bitcoin before Bitcoin.
For a long time, the Global Country of World Peace folks, which is a organization within the Transcendental movement,
Yogis Without Borders, I believe.
Yeah, inspired.
Medicine San Friends. Yeah,
part of the larger organization that all sprung forth out of Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. For a long time, they've been trying to start their own country.
Okay.
From a 2001 article in The Independent. Quote, disciples of Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, the Beatles' giggling guru who highlighted transcendental meditation in the 1960s, want to found a sovereign nation in South America. They've offered the government of Suriname $1.3 billion over 3 years to lease 3,500 acres for a rural utopia 20 miles northeast of the capital, Paramaribo. The proposed quote global country of world peace would mint its own currency, maintain a central bank, and have its own legal jurisdiction.
They have enough money to spend $1.5 billion over 3 years.
They had a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
Think about all the fucking celebrities that are big proponents of them.
Yeah, if but you look that's at the a list, lot of money.
If you look at the list of the celebrities who are a part of the organization, it is so many more than Scientology. Like, and people just don't talk about it because it's not as scary and they don't have all that gay blackmail. Like,
right.
You don't have Tom Cruise, John Travolta are massive stars.
Right.
And like Jim Carrey's a big star, but he's probably one of the most famous vocal proponents of TM. But he's not nearly on the level of Tom Cruise. And so that kind of helps Scientology. They got a bigger guy.
Yeah.
So they've been trying to start their own country.
How's it been going?
So they tried that in Suriname. They also tried to start a country in Costa Rica, and I quote.
Can you just, like, wait. You can't lease land and then say you're your own country, right?
I don't know. Well, why not?
That's a good point. I've never tried it.
In mid-June of this year, this is from 2002, some Costa Ricans were contacted by delegates of the religious organization Global Country of World Peace. From then on, the indigenous sector of the Central American country was immersed in confrontations that even almost reached communal divisions and physical fights. It happened that the Global Country is an organization born in India, but with Dutch legalization. Supposedly,
and we know they don't believe in 9/11 now.
Supposedly, its main objective is to reach a single world country without borders, with a single currency, a single thought, and a single ruler, King Maharishi Mahesh Yogi.
That is not a thing I want.
No. The sect even...
We were doing great. I was like, global country or world peace, you guys have a good old time. I don't like having a king.
The sect even came to Costa Rica to appoint a king to administer the
region. You can't just appoint a king.
In the region of Costa Rica, on the margin and ignoring the Costa Rican state. It imposed for the zone the currency ROM, equivalent, according to them, to $10 on the unit. The indigenous leader.
Don't think that's how currency works.
The indigenous leader, Lisandro Mendez, under the charge of King of Rica Shanti Rastra, as in Costa Rica he was baptized, received from the Central Bank of Netherlands the sum of $4 million so that he begins to administer this new state. Name his ministers and receive a salary of $1,000 per month. This situation, I think there's some translation issues here, because it says the situation filled the patients, I imagine that means tried the patients or whatever, exhausted the patients of the other indigenous peoples in the area and their organizations, since it was a disrespect for indigenous ancestral customs and an ignorance of the country's reality. The communities almost confronted each other, some in favor and others against the sect. The cause was knowing that the global country was trying to acquire 7,000 hectares to plant organic bananas to be sold in the United States, in addition to 7,000 hectares to establish the capital of the global country. All this in indigenous territory. Finally,
they've learned something from the white man.
From colonialism.
Yeah.
Finally.
Great. Thanks, guys. You took the right thing from us.
Finally, the Costa Rican president invited the members of the sect to leave the country in the shortest time possible, safeguarding the unity and integrity of the country.
Hey, guys, you can't have your own country. Go away.
So let's just look at these little things that I've brought up here at the end of this episode. This Global Country for World Peace, which is a part of the Transcendental organization.
Was going great. I was fine with it till they had a king out of that crazy guy.
Again, you know what? I want to say that there's a possibility that there's something lost in translation there, too. Like, the single ruler being King Maharishi Mahesh Yogi.
Sounds pretty translated correctly.
It's possible, but it might also be a thing where, like, the single thought ruler or ideological ruler.
President for life.
Which isn't good, but it might not.
Ayatollah.
Right.
Yeah.
I think he was also dead by 2002. But be that as it may, like, what you have here is a rank history here in Costa Rica and in Suriname of them trying to buy land to impugn the territorial sovereignty of these countries.
I feel like you can't just do that.
But it also, I don't care if you can or not, it seems like a motivation Alex Jones would be super against.
Right.
Then you have their larger goal, which clearly this would just be the beginning of, to create a one world government with one world currency.
Right.
And there are their stated objectives here being that you want to create a nation without borders and rejecting the narrow nationalism that divides humanity. You have things that are principally against what Alex Jones stands for. When you talk about
But Lynch made Dune, man. You got to listen to him.
When you talk about the globalists that Alex Jones throws darts at all the fucking time, as we discussed in the Endgame coverage, like you look at Haas, the leader of the Council on Foreign Relations. In his essay that he wrote about globalization and sovereignty, he discusses the need to retain sovereignty, but to have the definition be adjusted to reflect the fact that we live in a global world.
Right.
And things that happen in other countries affect what happens to you in your sovereign country, and non-national organizations are affecting everybody.
Yeah, currently we have economies without borders.
There is nothing in the stuff that I've read from Alex Jones's Boogeymen Globalists where they're actually saying we want a one world government. They do. They do.
Yeah, but come on. They made Mulholland Drive.
He didn't seem to like
it's a
that
great
one.
Great film, though.
He didn't like that one.
All right.
So anyway,
they made Eraserhead.
Alex, you're so blinded by your star fuckery that you accidentally had somebody on your show who is promoting ideals of an organization that actually wants a one world government. Congratulations, you dumb fuck. God damn it. He never fails to surprise me.
He's dumb.
He's so dumb. Anyway, go suck it, Alex.
Yeah.
Oh, God, what an idiot. Anyway, if you want more of the show, you can go to knowledgefight.com.
What a fucking moron. Oh, God, we've still got the Easter sale going on.
We do. We're on Twitter at knowledge_fight.
Indeed.
You can find us on Facebook. Also,
you can
the
do
new
that.
Group. New group.
Yes, that's
right. You've forgotten the name. Check us out.
Which I have.
Go home and tell your mother you're brilliant.
I got a show. I'm doing a show at the Improv in Schaumburg next Sunday, March 4th.
Mm-hmm.
You can come out and see that.
Improv, Schaumburg,
say
March
hi.
4th.
If you are...
Tickets still available.
Sonia, flights are cheap right now.
From
you can
Sweden.
Get on
yep.
out. Stay in Schaumburg. It's a beautiful, boring suburb.
I'd like to say I'm thrilled by a lot of these international... I mean, Sonia, we've been aware of for a while. And
right.
We've interacted... You probably haven't, but I've interacted with her online. I'm thrilled by a lot of these new internationalists coming out of the woodwork. Like, I've received some messages from people in, like, London, other parts of England, Finland, just in the last week. It's crazy. Denmark, it's nuts. I don't know how they're finding this, but it's awesome.
I'm happy they are.
It's awesome.
I hope eventually
to interact with these
we
folks.
Have enough policy wonks
yeah.
to
do an international tour,
take over Finland.
Oh, or that,
and start our own knowledge fight country
with our currency,
with
the
our
ROM.
Currency. The ROM. No, it'd be the ROM 2.0.
Oh, also to everybody out there who's emailed me about the Avengers Initiative, I appreciate that. I have not been able to get back to you because of the Endgame stuff. I sort of put responding to emails on hold. But I will be getting back to you, and I appreciate your posting stuff about us. And that long soundbite is coming.
You get your own private soundbite?
No, I'm going to play it on the show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, it's not private.
All right.
It'll just be... And, oh, also, if you did email me...
I was going to go with the...
If you did email me about that stuff, please email me again with who you want to be from the Avengers. At this point, Rocket Raccoon is taken. That's it. The rest, everyone else is still in play.
Are we talking about all the Avengers?
Yeah, the West Coast Avengers are in
play. Or like all the Marvel.
Yes.
All the Marvel characters in the eventual double team up.
Yeah, everybody who's in any iteration of the Avengers. This is stupid.
I want to be in Star Wars, but whatever.
You don't get to be involved.
No.
Anyway, guys, thank you all so much for listening.
Yeah. Who do you got?
I would like to say Maharishi Mahesh Yogi.
Yeah, I'm on board with that.
Kind of an asshole.
Go fuck yourself, Maharishi Mahesh Yogi.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.